It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh man, all right, let's not forget about the Phillies because last night they clinched a division. It had been a long time. Let's listen to the television version as it was called by Tom McCarthy last night, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Here's T-Mac as the Phils clinch it.
The 2-2, swing and a fly ball, right center field. Castellanos going back on the edge of the track, makes the catch. The ball game is over. For the first time in 13 years, the Phillies will celebrate as National League East champions. It's their 12th divisional crown, and they'll mob each other on the mound one more time.
Well, great job by the Phillies. You know, Brandon, you've been here a long time, and let's be real, 80% of that time, the Phillies stunk.
Man.
Right? I mean, that's the thing I tell people all the time with the show, and Ben, you know the deal. It's like, enjoy these moments,
yeah.
Because it ain't going to last forever.
Doesn't happen every year.
That's the understatement when it comes to the Phils. I mean, Brandon, for a long time, they struggled while you were here.
They on fire right now.
They have played well.
Yes, these last couple of years. Even though we didn't make it, it's just been electric. Red October. Yeah. It's like, man, that was the first time I experienced it for real. And I was like, man, we got to do this every year. We got to finish. You know what
I'm saying? Got to finish. That's right. Which you guys did in 2017.
Yep.
Let's listen to the Phils owner, John Middleton. But first, Rob Thompson. So Rob Thompson, as he always does in these type of instances, toasting his team. They're ready to, you know, pop the champagne, the whole deal. John Middleton gets in there. The guys go wild. Here's how it sounded in the clubhouse last night.
When we entered the playoffs, they said it was very difficult to get here. And to win a division is even more difficult. So congratulations on that. We still got some work to do, though. Okay? We still got some work to do. We want to get that buy. That's very important to us. I want you guys to party tonight, but be ready to come here and play tomorrow. Now, last thing, I brought John in here. John, come on over here. Remember in spring training, the man said he wants his trophy. We're going to get it.
I want my friend.
When I saw that, I thought, no, you know, especially knowing you're going to be in studio today, which is more memorable? John Middleton last night saying he wants his effing trophy back, or Jeffrey Lurie dancing with you guys after you beat the Falcons in the 2017 playoffs?
Oh, man.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was funny, boy. That's when
one and only time we've ever seen Jeffrey Lurie dance.
Yeah, you know, that's when you know you got some fun guys on the team when you can get everyone.
Pretty incredible. John, it's like when you guys almost got Andy Reid to wear the tights when T.O. almost got to 15 touchdowns. He got to 14 touchdowns, and that's when T.O. got injured, and Andy Reid did not have to wear the tights.
That would have been something.
That would have been.
Man, he knew the line he could draw. So just barely safe.
T.O. was going to
so
get
hilarious.
There.
He would have lived up to that. Yeah. He would have made good on that.
There was 2.5 games left when he got injured. He got injured during the middle of the Cowboys game, and he would have gotten it either in that or one of the last two. Unless, actually, James, now I think about it, Andy probably would have benched the whole team. Keep everyone healthy. Because Andy ended up benching everybody anyway. Let's listen to more after the game here. Brandon Marsh. Interesting stuff post-game. Look, they were all fired up last night. That was obvious. How much they actually drank as opposed to how much they actually spilled, it's hard to know the ratio. We know they certainly spilled more than they drank. We'll see who is and is not in the lineup today. Here's Brandon Marsh after the game.
Final question for you. What's the celebration been like after you and your roommate Alec Bohm go home? Does the celebration continue, or is it like, all right, we're going to bed?
Nah, we ain't going to bed tonight.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, we still got a game tomorrow.
There we go.
We got a couple more games left. We're gonna get a little bit of sleep and back on the diamond tomorrow.
I don't.
He's like, whoops.
Yeah, I don't bet against one of our teams. This might be the day to bet against the Phils. We'll say. We'll see what kind of lineup they field and all that. By the way, one more piece of audio related to the Phils, because there was a fan after the game I thought really summed up time well, at least through the prism of his life. Ben, have you heard this yet? You know where I'm going with this?
I do not.
This is good stuff. This is a guy, I believe this first aired on ABC, I think, last night, Channel 6, I think. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But one of the newscasts had this. Here's a fan after the game.
13 years we've waited for this. I've gotten married and divorced and had two kids. Let's go, Philly!
How great is that? How great is that?
A lot can happen in that time.
Do you think that's the order he did it in, or do you think the kids are in between?
I don't know. The irony is Sean Ritchie's done the same thing, except some of the kids were before that. John, how old is your youngest daughter? She's 13 or older?
13.
Okay, well, you've had your own tumultuous 13 years. Put it that way. Brandon, when they're in the playoffs, so you guys are in a season. Now, this one's going to be a little different in the bye will happen as they start. Let's say in the past when there hasn't been a bye, because that's most weeks, Sunday, 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 Sunday. How much can you watch and enjoy the Phillies thing, and how much do you have to turn it off to get to bed and be ready for practice the next day? How do you balance that?
You know what? I mean, certain Wednesday and Thursday is like a hard, long days. So you just try to get ready for that. But like a Friday, I mean, that's a light day. So if a day on Thursday, you watch it. I mean, I ain't worried about the Friday because it's a fast Friday. It's a short practice. And then, you know, it just depends on the day, what you got the next day. So a Wednesday, Thursday, so I can't watch a Tuesday, you know, because I'm going to bed trying to get ready for the game plan for the week. But
so you had an amazing experience. I remember, I think it was 2 years ago. It might have been last year. These years kind of run together. Mm-hmm. There was a first pitch deep in the playoffs. It was like, all right, it's time to bring out the big guns. So my recollection, Sixers representative was Dr. J.
Yep.
The Phillies representative, I think, was Mike Schmidt, I think.
It was.
Okay, the Flyers rep, I think, was Bernie Parent.
Bernie Parent, yep.
And then the Eagles rep, Mr. BG, Brandon Graham.
No, that was
so
cool.
What was that like?
I mean, that was cool because, I mean, I was just going through different tunnels of the stadium that I'd never been in before, and we was getting out talking with Dr. J and hearing Bernie talking about, man, you got to get on my boat because we're going to go fishing.
How big were Dr. J's hands? When I was in fifth grade, they gave us a photocopy. This was in Mechanicsburg, a photocopy supposedly of Dr. J's hand. And it took up the entire 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. It was the whole thing. Yeah. And I've never met him and had a chance to meet him. I just wondered if it was this big.
Oh, man.
Like that.
I mean, when I dapped him up, you could definitely feel how long the fingers were.
By the way, we have to mention Richie drew a picture of a hand and held it up to show Brandon, just so everyone understands what just happened.
I showed him a piece of paper. It really was. It's like just the piece of paper. It was the entire piece
of paper. I've seen it. Yeah, because
it's incredible.
The NBA store in New York City there's a couple of basketballs where they note some of the more famous NBA players with big hands. Doc's one of them. Shaq's one of them. And you see the advantage they have when they can palm a ball.
I mean, obviously, Jahlil Okafor as well. And,
you know, Barkley.
Do you remember
Barkley not only couldn't palm a ball, that's why he never dunked a ball with one hand.
Wow.
Couldn't do it. I mean, you think back to his career, Barkley always dunked with two hands.
That's a good point, yeah.
He couldn't. If he cupped it, he could kind of cup it a little bit, but he couldn't palm it the way Jordan and James Worthy and some other notables have. All right, let's get to the phones. Rob in South Jersey. Rob, you're on WIP.
Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
Yo, real quick, Brandon, I just want to say I still watch the Strip Stack once a week, man. It makes me so happy, and I just want to thank you. I know your career's not over, but big performance on Sunday, man. And, dude, you're everywhere on Sundays. You are literally everywhere on that field, and I love it.
Man, I appreciate you, man. You know, got to leave it all out there.
Definitely. The best of luck going forward this season. Joe, I got a little anecdote for you guys from last night. So I got two little kids, and I was on my couch last night in the top of the third inning. I live in the Mount Laurel area, which is about 30 minutes away.
Yep.
You can still buy tickets on StubHub up to about 40 minutes after the game. I put my little one down in the bottom of the third.
Wow.
I got there last night in the top of the seventh.
That's awesome, dude.
And for the any police officers listening, I did not feed on 95, so I got there just in time, but
Awesome job by you.
That is well done.
That is thinking outside the box.
It is.
Great work.
I sent my buddies two videos, and I was like, how is this possible? They're like, that's not you. And I was like, yeah.
Rob, well done, man. Well, listen, call us all through October, as I know you will. Rob's a great caller, and that's a great story right there. All right, so BG, couple final things here. And again, Brandon with us every Tuesday at this time for a half hour. You got to be proud of the backups. I mean, you had some serious lumber that either didn't play or didn't finish this game, and dude stepped in and did their job.
Man, it reminded me, I'm telling you, 2017, where you got depth. You got the guys that get them opportunities that you got to have rise to the occasion. Lane go down. I didn't even know. Big Makai go down. And now you got Tyler Steen. Now you got Fred, who been waiting on this opportunity, because as you can see, them boys was ready for that moment.
Yep.
Went out there and put on the show. And, man, it's only going to serve us well when you can trust all these guys that you got, because you, sometimes some people don't get to touch the field. I know for a quarterback, sometimes they don't get to touch it unless Jalen go down.
Yep.
Something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things where people say stay ready, but I know they look ready. They look ready
sure.
when they was out there. So I was
well,
proud of them.
So we'll see, obviously, in the game versus Tampa, how many of them need to start. You know, obviously, to be determined on the status of some key players, A.J. Brown, Devontae, Lane Johnson, Mekhi Becton, we'll see on Covey. Let's talk about Tampa, Brandon.
Yep.
Last year, 10 thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel a little something extra knowing you're going back to the spot where the season ended? And not only ended, but like, I mean, they got you bad last year. Do you feel a little something extra?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you want to go down and get a win. That's really what you want to do going into, you know, their territory. They sent us home last year. Yeah, we definitely gonna make sure we come with our good game plan and go out and execute this week.
How confident does this team feel in its coaches?
I feel good. We feel good about the coaches. I think it was just more of us deciding in different spots on, man, you know what, I'm just do my job the best and not worry about making nobody else plays. Go out there and be you. And I think that's really what all that message was this week. When you watch the film, as you know, when you see little stuff, you be like, man, if we can get him, because they picked on this guy this week, they picked on that guy, all right, cool. Now we knew what happened. But, man, I'm telling you, that's all it is the attitude. When we stopped that run, it was all attitude. Because, I mean, we got the scheme. We doing the same things. But I just think that it was more everybody was like, we not going to go out like we did last week. Then you find out that you're actually pretty good if you do it all together. You know what I'm saying? So let's just keep it going. You know what I'm saying? Let's not talk about it. Let's just keep doing it.
That's a great point. Now that you've done it, you know how it feels to do it the right way. Yep. I saw Jordan Davis, I saw Jalen Carter go out there and roll people. I mean, they were blowing people up.
Yeah.
That's what we need. And if we're going to continue to stop the run, they've got that feeling now. They can replicate that. Yep. You can say, hey, guys, week three, draw on that. Rely on that. You know how it feels.
The only thing
I think it's a great place to be.
Well,
we
here's
can
the,
jump from here.
Sure. Here's the only thing I'll say, BG, when you said, you know, go do it, basically don't talk about it. I think there's at least a 75% chance C.J. Gardner-Johnson is still sitting at his stool, still talking smack postgame. Like, he's been there for 36 hours. Even if no one's around him, he's just talking.
You know what's funny about that? We say we need that. We need all his energy because, I mean, at the end of the day, he was the one talking before the game, we were talking after the game.
But and this is the guy who's also talking.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
And Fletcher Cox is yelling at him like, hey, man, not so much talking. So we got a couple guys. Who
yours
got a
is
lot.
More like the Merry Christmas kind of talk. His is more like the go to hell kind of talk, though,
oh,
right?
Man.
I mean,
you got a different talking style.
He is definitely bringing that energy. And then Fletch still getting on me, too. You know, he calling me after every game because he watching.
Wow.
Oh, you guys are this. You guys are that. It's like, oh.
Wow.
Now I had to call him after this one.
How's he doing? Is he enjoying retirement?
Oh, yeah. I know Fletch is because he would have been around if he really missed it. But right now he loving not having to be political, not having to answer to nobody.
Yeah.
If we win or lose, I know that part is good for him. But just to keep him in the locker room, we still be talking, FaceTiming, and having
That's
a little
great.
Fun with it.
Brandon, congratulations on the win.
Yeah,
good luck versus Tampa, and thanks for being a big part of the show. Brandon Graham,
thanks,
ladies and gentlemen.
BG.
All right, Nick Sirianni joins us coming up in 20 minutes. Great to be with you. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie on this Tuesday morning. A division clinching day after Tuesday morning. Hello. Phillies got it done last night. And look, they still got work to do. Ben Davis with us. Elliot Shortley. Phone calls at 215-592-9494. Ben, how do you balance if you were a player? Let's say you were in the spot last night.
Mm-hmm.
You win the game. You clinch the division. It's a major accomplishment. You also know you've been in the playoffs 2 years in a row. Great runs, but fell short. when you win that game last night, you've got five games left. You're half a game behind the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. It's the final week of the season. How would you balance going hard and partying versus, and I don't mean like you, sometimes a starter, sometimes a backup. I just mean you, the baseball player. Mm-hmm. How would you balance, I got a game the next day and I might want to get that one seed and make sure I'm drank two beers instead of 12 beers.
Yeah, I think you have to balance it and realize what's at stake here, and I think the players do know what's at stake. We heard Rob Thompson say after the game, we got to get that first round bye.
Yeah, he did make a point to say.
He made a point. I think you can.
But by the way, they're going to get that. The question isn't if they're going to get that. The question is if they're going to get the number one seed.
The number one seed.
That's different.
And that's
here's
another
the deal.
Priority.
They're 3.5 up, which really means 4.5 because they own the tiebreaker with the Brewers. They're 4.5 up with five to go for a bye. They're going to get a bye.
Yeah.
That's clear.
But to get the best record and have better than the Dodgers, you know, they got five games left to do it, and they're facing two inferior teams. But, you know, I think with regards to partying last night, you got to know your limits, yeah. And you got to draw a line somewhere and realize that, you know.
I agree with you.
They do have a night game, so they were able to sleep in today, and you know, they can rehydrate and be
and I'll
fine.
I'll say this, Sean. I mean, look, we have no idea how much they drank. We know this, I think, for sure. They certainly spilled more than they drank.
Yeah, that was the point. They were pouring it out more than they were pouring it into their bodies.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know how much these guys really party anyway. I mean, there might be a couple guys, but when we're on the road, you never see them ever going out anywhere.
I'm telling you, last night
there was a lot of
family moments out on the field. Yeah, they were celebrating a little bit. There were the photo moments, but then they were out on the field with their babies, their children, their wives. They really were, I don't know, doing the family thing as much as they were doing the let's tie one on thing. It was appropriate.
Okay.
All right, well, don't you think? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I legitimately
don't
know.
We didn't see the end of the night, yeah. But there were guys who seemed like they were handling business.
It's a veteran bunch as well.
Yes.
I mean, so, and they are mostly of them, they're all married with children. It's not like they're going out and, you know, tying one on. Not mm-hmm. that they're getting blotto.
No, I got you. All right. So let's get a lot of calls in here. Plus, Elliot joins us shortly. Nick Sirianni in 20 minutes. Lenny and Concha Hocken right now. Good morning, Len.
I'm in the corner watching you kiss her. Hey, Joe.
Well, that was kind of weird. I mean, I was good until the hey, Joe. So am I also watching?
Lenny.
Like, am I with you in the corner watching?
Are you voyeurs
someone else?
Together?
Yeah, because, Lenny, I love the song, and I'm glad it's kind of back. They put it out there last night. But I also will stand by, like, kind of creepy.
Do you both like the same girl? Are you and Joe watching the same young woman kiss someone else?
Now it's like a foursome.
And now you're
wait,
like,
Lenny's into Joe's cousin, too?
Sharing the misery? Yeah, right. What's going on?
Well, Lenny, I'm glad you're excited, my man.
I'm very much like the guy on the radio, on the news last night. Since the last division title, I have two been divorced and have two kids. So maybe we do like the same rap show.
There you go. Go ahead, man.
What I'm trying to do right now, I'm doing a sports reset. I am becoming a prisoner of the moment, and I'm trying to becoming enjoying the moment. I want to read you some of the texts over the course of the year for the Philly season. What the hell is Rob Thompson doing? Why is JT not batting? Nick Castellanos is washed. Bryce Harper may never hit another home run again. Oh, my God. Ranger Suarez might be as bad as Taijuan Walker right now. I, right now, need to start enjoying what we do. When we started the season, can we all agree that we wanted to win the NL East? That was our product, our number one mission?
No.
Well, winning the World Series,
It was the first mission of the big three, I'll call them, to accomplish. The big three missions, and well, I'll give you four. The big four missions are make the playoffs, win the division, get to the World Series, win the World Series. I guess technically getting to the playoffs is something that typically happens first. So, you know, I'll say it's the second sequentially. The big mission is the one that now happens in early November.
I agree. So, yeah. I meant meaning first on the list. Number one, win the NL East. Number two, get the number one overall record in baseball. And number three, win the whole thing. I, right now, am absolutely thrilled. I'm looking through the baseball, the landscape. I don't think there's a better 1-2 punch at starting rotation than ours.
It's strong.
Bullpen than ours. Our bench is playing well. We've had people step in
everybody has gotten at-bats in the last 2 months. Literally, everybody has gotten at-bats in the last 2 months. I'm jacked up, boys. I'm just so excited right now. Go Phillies, Red October. Let's go, Phil!
All right, Lenny, I love the call, man. I really do. Let's also get to Elliott Shore Parks because the Eagles got a win the other day, 2-1. It's been a strange season, not only locally, but across the entire National Football League. And Elliott joins us every Tuesday at this time, brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Elliott right now. Good morning, Elliott.
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
Well, Elliott, when we met someone last Friday who told us that you once upon a time were incredibly stylish in gigantic clothes. His name was David Birnbaum, and he told us to say hi.
Wow.
You went to high school together.
That's right.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah.
Elliott, more than anyone, wore gigantic clothes in the 90s.
I mean, he's not lying. I had on 3XL NBA jerseys.
Really?
Massive Jerbo jeans. Yeah, for sure.
That's great. He said it was cutting edge, always fashionable.
Yeah, it cut out.
I've always been on trend, exactly.
I don't know about that. All right, so Elliott, it was interesting. I saw some stuff you put out on social media after the game where you feel, and if you could just elaborate on this, that while there are negatives to discuss, I get the impression you think the town came down too hard on the Eagles on some of the negatives and did not embrace enough that it was a very impressive win against an undefeated team. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's like the Mike Schmidt quote, right? Winning on Sunday and having to read about it on Monday. Like that's what Nick Sirianni has become to this team. And while it was not a perfect game, and I do disagree with some of the decisions he made, the reality is nobody thought they would win that game. Not me, not the fans, not the majority of media. So then to go down and win the game, it was not perfect. But I actually thought that it was the type of win that exactly shows how Nick benefits this team instead of hurts them. Like, that was a resilient win. This offseason, when Jeffrey Lurie talked about why the 2023 team crashed, he brought up resiliency. That was resiliency, in my opinion. I was at that dome. It is a hard place to play. I have seen it demolish other Eagles teams when the momentum gets going. And this team was resilient. So was it perfect? Absolutely not. It wasn't pretty, but it was absolutely an encouraging win.
Elliott, what's the deal from the NFL? Is there a follow-up for that offensive lineman who really, I mean, it was over the top what he did to Darius Slay, driving him basically into the bench. That was dirty, and I'm just wondering what's happening now with all of that.
I'll just tell you this, Sean. I wondered if the guy was going to get kicked out during the game. I didn't think he would have, but I thought it was the kind of thing where it comes into focus as a possibility. That was very excessive.
Yeah, so obviously there's a process throughout the week where they review those things. You know, today's Tuesday. My guess is maybe even today or Wednesday we'll hear back about if there's going to be a fine. I don't think there'll be a suspension, you know, after it, but yeah, no question about it. I mean, that was overall, and the Saints were on the worst end of it for sure in terms of what they did. But that was an extremely physical, emotional game. Like, I've covered
a lot of
games. That was one of the more intense ones I've covered. So, yeah, that was, you know, that was definitely not a great play by him.
Well, what about the Devontae Smith concussion play? I mean, that looked dirty also.
You know, and Elliott, I put that more on the leg, man, meaning the refs. They got to blow the whistle. I mean, Elliott, he caught the ball in the 36. He was struck by the guy on the 31. They still hadn't blown the whistle, even though he'd already been pushed back 5 yards. That's a joke.
Yeah, and look, especially when you talk about, you know, you don't want players to get hurt in any capacity, but especially when we're talking about head injuries, for that to happen, I 100% agree. I mean, it should have been penalized play during the game. I would not be surprised at all if he's fined for that, a helmet-to-helmet hit. But yeah, no question about it. That is definitely was not a good hit.
What is the word on Devontae's health this week? Is there the possibility that we will have him available? How slow does this turnaround take?
Yeah, so obviously with the concussion, you know, everybody's different, right? And so he is in the protocol right now. You know, Lane Johnson also in the protocol. And generally, when players are in the protocol, it is hard for them to turn around and play the upcoming Sunday. Now, the one benefit the Eagles do have is, for like the third time in the past 26 games, they actually have a 1 p.m. to 1 p.m. game. So, you know, you're not talking about going from Thursday or from Monday. Like, they have a full week. But Mm-hmm. You know, in general, when players are in the concussion protocol, it's hard to recover in time. So at this point, I would say, you know, you probably have to plan for them not to be out there on Sunday.
And we heard that Britton Covey, after the game, had a sling. I mean, this is major, being that he's a return guy. We've got a new return scheme. We could actually utilize this return scheme. What do we do in Covey's case, and what's the word on his injury?
Yeah, so he was in a sling after the game. You know, our very own legend, Merrill Reese, said Britton Covey told him that he had suffered a broken bone. So obviously, if that's the case, combined with the fact that he's in a sling, you would think that Covey is likely headed to IR, or at the very least, going to be out a few weeks. So he's a big loss. I mean, you know, I know 2 years ago we were all crushing the special teams, but they've become one of the better units, if not the best unit, frankly, in the league. And Covey's a big part of that. So he's a big loss there. And then at receiver, they're so banged up with AJ, Devontae, that he was actually, you know, probably potentially in line to start this Sunday if he was healthy. So, you know, there's options on the practice squad, but they don't have a ton of experience. Paris Campbell will probably get elevated, I would think, from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. And then you look at a guy like maybe John Ross, who's still unsigned, but spent all offseason with the team. So, yeah, if AJ and Devontae don't play, they definitely have some maneuvering to do.
Nick Sirianni with us in 10 minutes here. Elliot right now on the Birds. Of course, we're also talking a lot about the Phils, who last night won the division. Elliot, let's talk about the starting quarterback of the Eagles. Now, we can go short picture, you know, small picture with the game itself, but let's broaden it out here a bit. I said yesterday, I'll stand by it, I think Jalen is only a slightly above average quarterback. Do you believe that's accurate? Do you think he's better than that? Do you think he's worse than that? Where does Jalen net out for you right now?
I think he's right there. He is a quarterback that can definitely make special plays, and we saw that. I mean, week two against Atlanta, he had a lot of really special running plays. He's made some really nice throws this season. But the reality is, when we want to talk about why the Eagles struggle to win, why they, like, you know, on Sunday, maybe why it wasn't the most impressive win, people want to say, it's because of Jalen. It's not because of Nick. It's because of Jalen. If you look this year, teams, when they lose the turnover battle, are 7-26 this year. Since week one of last year, when the Eagles lose the turnover battle, they are 7-6. So they are winning despite Jalen in a lot of ways, despite the fact that he is turning the ball over more than any other quarterback in the NFL. So we can talk about his improvements against the blitz, which is absolutely true. We can talk about some of the great throws he makes and how he's being a better leader. None of that matters if he turns it over at the rate he does. They have the team to win a Super Bowl. The defense is good. The offensive line is better. They have the coaching staff to do it. What they don't have is a quarterback that can take care of the ball, and that is their biggest problem by far.
You know, I get the impression, Elliot, that
he can.
Well,
and he needs to improve at that part, but we've seen in the past that that was an aspect to his game that we had confidence in.
So, but here's the only thing I would push back on that on. I think that we're elevating 2022 as if it's the norm. If you look at his play in general, now I know it was his rookie year, so take it for what it's worth. But if you go from when he became the starter with Doug to now, he has pretty consistently turned the ball.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All over almost once a game. I think he has 53 turnovers in 59 games. And obviously 2022, there was not a ton. So if you remove that year, he's turning it over more than once a game on average. So while I do agree, Richie, like in the past, we have said he's a quarterback that takes care of the ball. We might have to accept that is no longer who he is and really isn't who he has been.
I think we need to find out.
We will find out.
And one way or the other. We're on the verge in this season.
Elliot, learning. Elliot, I get the impression that you think the town is not only too hard on Nick Sirianni, but way too hard on him. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's completely accurate. I think the attempted push at the end of the first half is not what I would have done. I would have absolutely kicked the field goal there. That would have been my read on it. But if you look at that game overall, I think he got most of the fourth down decisions correct. Trusting Jake Elliott to kick a field goal, I was good with that. Going forward on fourth and four when you were at like the Saints 45, I was good with that. Early in the game, he goes for it on fourth down. They get it. They're in the red zone, and they're about to score, and Jalen throws an interception. So was the end of the first half bad? Yeah, I wouldn't have done that. But ultimately, the fact that yesterday this guy had to spend all day hearing that they won despite him, that's not true. That is covering up for the quarterback. The quarterback has been the issue.
Hold on. But that interception thrown by the quarterback, I put that on Devontae Smith, not the quarterback. So I
disagree with that. We can certainly debate the specifics. At the top of the route, did Devontae get pushed off? Yes, maybe. Now, the week before against Atlanta, they ran a similar play, and that ball is caught way further back in the end zone than it was there. So did Jalen throw it too early, causing Devontae to get hit in the middle of his route? Maybe, but regardless, Jalen's the one that throws the ball, and Tyrann Mathieu was sitting right there waiting to make it. So I thought it was an arm strength issue and a decision issue by Jalen.
Interesting.
It's a Devontae needs to come back and make his quarterback right.
I think it's hard to know for sure whose fault it is.
It's trust the receiver. The receiver needs to make the quarterback trust him.
I mean, I'll say this. If Devontae was supposed to cut that a little bit cleaner, you know, put his foot in the ground and cut to the left quicker and cleaner, and that might be the case, but there's still a very, very small window. You can get it in there, but it's a small window. Because to your point, Elliot, there's two defenders right there. Like, that has to be pinpoint precise or you got a big problem.
For sure, but I feel like we're doing a little bit of what we did with Carson in 2020, which is for the first few weeks, it was actually it's Doug's fault. Actually, he doesn't have any receivers. Actually, it's this. And then what ended up happening was he just had trouble taking care of the ball. Yep. So could Devontae have run a better route? Yes. But the reality is the quarterback is the one that for the last year and a half has turned the ball over at an alarming rate.
Okay. Elliot, we'll talk to you next week or I think later this week before the Tampa game. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Let's go to Chuck. He's calling from Cherry Hill. Of course, the Phils won the division last night. Good morning, Chuck.
Yeah, what a great day. You know, it's so easy to like this team.
Yep.
It's not always the case. I start with the alignment of the front office for any sport, basketball, football, baseball, and I got to like the front office. I got to like the C-suite. And when you look at this team with Middleton and Dombrowski, and then you get into the players, Harp, JT, it doesn't matter who you say, Baum, Turner, you like them all. They're just a likable bunch. You see them last night out with their families, you know, the kids, and it's just a wonderful thing.
I'll just say this. It's important. I mean, listen, nothing matters more than winning, essentially, you know, for a fan. But but the connectivity to a team matters a lot. We've had that through the years with some guys like Doc and Trot and, you know, the 93 Phils group. I mean, there's different groups, you know, the different, you know, Bernie and Bobby Clark with the Flyers in the 70s. But we've had the opposite. And the Sixers have that a little bit right now. I mean, there's someone that said to me the other day, now, I don't agree with this, but someone said to me the other day, it's like, I actually just don't like Joel Embiid. And I was like, well, I disagree with you, but I get your frustration that you get tired of kind of being teased and he doesn't deliver. I get it. I mean, and also it's like you want to see greater accomplishment before the ball is spiked. You know, like do something. And I know MVP is great 2 years ago, but I mean, they haven't gone anywhere in the playoffs. You know, do some of that before you spike the football, so to speak. But go ahead, Chuck.
When you have to fight brand identity, you don't feel like you're really all in with your heart behind the team because you're fighting brand identity, and that's the Sixers' problem right now with Embiid that you just underscored, not this team. And then you take the stadium and you put that whole mantra around the likeness of the players in front office. You got a really good thing here. I have a scoring system. It's very simple. It takes the players you can count on offensively, the starting pitchers you can count on, the bullpen. And I grade this team 6-4-5, six offensive players, 800 production, four starters, five relievers. That's the highest grade compared to the 08 or 80 team by far. It grades out 4 points higher than either other. This team is really well-balanced.
Yeah, listen, they're a great team. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, and Chuck, good call. They're going to finish either with the first, second, or third best record in baseball. They're in a fight with the Dodgers and the Yankees, by the way, for the best record in baseball. They're currently a half a game behind the Dodgers, and we'll see if they can get that one overall seed. Chuck, appreciate the call. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. It's tailgate season at Armin Chevy. Check the incredible lineup of SUVs at arminchevy.com. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question, what's top of mind for you this morning? You know, the two teams that are going on right now, we'll ask you both of them in one poll. Top of mind for you, is it A, the Eagles 2 days after the Saints game, or B, the Phillies after clinching the division last night? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Matter of fact, let's hear, before we hear from Nick Sirianni, let's hear the moment the Phillies clinched the division last night.
Swung on, hit in the air, deep right center field. On the run, Castellanos, he is there. He's got it! And the Phillies close out the National League East. They are the champions of 2024. They come running out of the dugout and meet at the mound around Carlos Estevez. As for the 12th time in team history, the Phillies have won the National League East. And they've done it for the first time in 13 years.
Well, it was awesome. It was really cool, and it's a great accomplishment. And that was, you know, I guess the most notable thing, obviously, within the game, because, you know, that's the clincher. The most notable thing post-game is what the owner said. Let's listen to the manager, Rob Thompson, as he's toasting his club. And then John Middleton steps in. Listen to this exchange. They want to get it all.
When we entered the playoffs, they said it was very difficult to get here. And to win a division is even more difficult. So congratulations on that. We still got some work to do, though. Okay? We still got some work to do. We want to get that five. That's very important to us. I want you guys to party tonight. But be ready to come here and play tomorrow. Now, last thing. I brought John in here. John, come on over here. Remember in spring training, the man said he wants his trophy. We're going to get it.
I want my friend.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. That's the Phillies last night. That's John Middleton and Rob Thompson obviously doing their thing with the club. 215-592-9494. We're going to talk to the Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni in a moment. Ben, if you could, in brief terms, give us how concerned you are about the bye. Does it worry you that they're going to be shutting it down in a couple days for about 5 days?
It does a little bit because of what happened to teams in years past with the Braves, the Dodgers, them coming out and just being stale. And
do you play real games against each other to try to stay sharp? I don't mean like the little, hey, let's do a little fake game. Like, do you play 9 innings of baseball?
No.
2 or 3 times?
No. I
would think about it. Teams have really had issues coming out of that bye the last couple years.
Yeah, you could, but again, you don't want to risk injury.
I know.
So.
But you also don't want to risk being not sharp. What's the term, John?
Stale.
Not sharp? Stale.
Stale.
I mean, the teams that have gotten byes in baseball the last 2 years have really struggled in the first round
so
they play.
But you are so to the side of, let's wrap the football players up in bubble wrap, Joe. Why would you want these baseball players to play?
Sometimes they do. All right, let's talk more football. Of course, you can weigh in on the Phils and clinching the division last night at 215-592-9494. A lot of Eagles on the table as well, as Nick Sirianni joins us every single, typically Tuesdays at this time, 2 days removed from the game. And Nick is brought to us by Bud Light. You can pregame with Ava Graham at the Grok. Great spot, by the way. The Grog and Bryn Mawr this Sunday before the game versus Tampa Bay, and win tickets to the next Eagles home game and merchandise from Bud Light. We welcome the head coach of the 2-1 Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi,
just
Coach.
I'd like to start by saying congrats to the Phillies, Coach Thompson, and the Phillies organization for winning. The division yesterday was awesome. Got my kids wearing. I know my kids were wearing Bryce Harper shirts this morning. So,
nice,
awesome.
Pumped about that. Really excited for their run in this October.
Yeah, they've done 2 years in a row. It's been quite a journey and a lot of good until the end. Obviously, a lot of great stuff from them in October. Nick, let's talk about your squad. There's a lot going on, and in the midst of a win that has been very scrutinized in many ways, you guys got a win on the road against an undefeated team in a hostile environment with a tremendous amount of adversity, including some significant injuries before and during the game. What is that feeling of satisfaction like when you win a game under those circumstances?
Yeah, first of all, any game in the NFL that you win, you're ecstatic about. You always want to clean up the mistakes, but it's hard to win, so you take a lot of pride in that, and there's a lot of work, obviously, that goes into that. And that place, that place is a tough place to play. It's loud. It's a good environment. We had a lot of Eagles fans there, though. That was pretty special. But that's a tough environment to play. I think Howie told me a couple times that they hadn't won there since 2007 now. And I know last time I was at a game there was 2019 with the Colts, and we got beat up pretty good there. So anytime you go down there to get a win is big, and that's a good football team. You know, that had put a lot of points on the board, that had won games pretty convincingly the 2 weeks prior to that. And then just on top of that, getting the guys in to play, the backups in that had to come in and play and stepping up to play. It was just a good team win. I said to the guys, there was a lot of things on display, how we handled adversity from the week before. We fixed a lot of the things that we had messed up the week before. And that's the big part of adversity. If you can take the adversity and get better from it, that's huge, and I felt like we did that while still having things to clean up. I felt like, the roles, we'd always talk about what people's role are on the team, and to see some of these guys that you tell their role is to be ready when their time comes, and then they were ready and they put the work in to be ready, that's an awesome feeling. And then, I thought we knew that team was tough, and we know we're a tough football team, and we went out there and played physically tough against a physically tough football team, and that was on display. And then the last thing on that game that you really think about is how much of a team that just felt just such togetherness on that football team. The offense, the defense saying to the offense, we got you. I mean, you should have seen, it was awesome on the sideline of how many times the guys was telling each other, I got you. Or if we have a failed conversion, they look at me and say, I got you. And it's like, it was just such good team football that team, this 2024 Eagles team, got tighter, a lot tighter just from that experience there. And we're going to continue to look back on this. Not that you dwell on this because you move on, but it's going to be such a great example for other things moving forward.
Nick, the deal, the town's buzzing about some of the decisions from within the game. You know that. Let's talk about the first that, everyone's talking about. To not kick the field goal, or I'll say go for a higher percentage conversion on fourth down with a QB sneak. Ultimately, I'm going to ask you why not, but I'm going to frame it this way. 14 seconds left, and I would say, and I think most people would acknowledge, a quarterback that had been struggling up until that point in the game. So with those two realities, why not either just kick it or run the sneak in that circumstance?
Sure, yeah. We did what we did because we felt like it gave us the best chance to win the football game at the end of the day. We thought that if we didn't score on the play, then we'd have another opportunity there. Not to get into all the clock things, but we had a timeout. We had we've had some opportunities there on the next play if it didn't score. We've had a game against the Falcons in 21 where we scored with 9 seconds left to go in the half. We had a game against the Rams last year where we scored with, I think there was 6 seconds left to go in the half. We threw a fade and they passed interference. There was no time on the clock. Then the quarterback stayed from there to get it. So we felt good about the play call that it had a chance to score. It didn't. So I fully understand the criticisms and, you know, if it scores, we're not talking about it. If it doesn't score, it's on me. And that's the price that you pay when you're the head coach. And I fully accept that and gladly accept that because I know if you look at our track record in those scenarios, we've been pretty darn good, and it's helped lead us to a lot of wins. And so you take everything into consideration. And you know what? There's been some ones and some tight games this year that have been scrutinized because of the result. And that's okay. But every single thing I'm doing is trying to help this football team win. We've been pretty darn successful at it, but it didn't work this last week. So, you know, I gotta deal and live with the criticism.
Nick, when key players are out, you know, in certain moments, like obviously, you know, Devontae, you know, eventually AJ, Lane Johnson, does that make you more inclined to be aggressive because you think we may not get the ball down the field that often in this game?
Again, depending on how the game's going, depending on how the game's going is always taken into consideration. I thought our and sometimes what's taken into consideration, I think those are good points. Other things that are taken into consideration is how the defense is playing, right? The defense was stuffing them, right? And so maybe you get a 7-3 lead. And then you just keep playing defense. But if you don't get it, the defense continues to play their butts off, right? And the fourth down, I think we had a fourth and two early in the first half that we converted. That you could say also there did take points there, but it's not talked about because you converted it. And that's okay. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so, you know, you do that for multiple reasons, and one of them is, who's on the field? How many chances are you going to get going forward? How many times are you going to be down here again? How's the defense playing, right? And when the defense is playing that good, if you give them a little bit shorter of a field, you're feeling good that they're going to stop them. All those things are taken into play. Again, like I said, you take the analytical numbers, you take your players. First and foremost, you take your players. Why are some coaches not aggressive in certain situations? They might not trust their players in those particular cases. I trust our players. I trust the guys that we have on this football team. I've seen them make these plays over and over and over again in our plus territory. I don't remember what the stat was last week that somebody gave me, but it was like 79 times we've went for it in our plus territory. Well, that you don't do that unless you have ultimate faith in your players, right? And so you take all that into account. And but anytime something like that doesn't go right, you always look at it and you study it and you try to get better from it.
Nick, how often over the course of the game do you call
John,
the play?
John, we might have ran a fullback dive to you too if you've still been there. That plays out of the commission a little bit now. Like, I don't see a lot of teams doing that much anymore.
We ran one. I gained 1 yard, and I did a terrible job. My head was down.
And then the league said no more fullbacks.
No, I didn't deserve it, Coach. But my question was, how often over the course of the game do you call the play?
You know, I'm not going to get into this percentage of time. You know, the way we game plan is collaborative. Every staff I've ever been on has been that way, from when I was the quarterback coach to when I was the receiver coach to when I was the coordinator to when I was the head coach. Hmm. It's such a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. And you go through the week. That's why football's so awesome. You go through this week-long grind for one game, and it's so collaborative throughout. Well, that's how a game is too. You know, ultimately Kellen is calling the plays and dialing up the plays so we can do, you know, so I can do other things, and, you know, it, but if there's a scenario where I say something that I want to go for it, do something. There's scenarios where Kevin Petullo, you know, our my assistant head coach and the pass game coordinator will say, hey, what do you think about this in this scenario?
Mm-hmm.
And Kellen will call it. You know, Jeff Stoutland has great suggestions. Jason Michael has great suggestions during the game. We have a lot of guys that have been coordinators and called plays on our staff.
Yeah.
And so you're getting that feedback constantly, and you know it's thought out. It's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, let's do that right in this particular case. You take players, you know, John, you know how it is. You go to the sideline and you say, hey, I'm feeling this ISO play because I know I can knock this guy on his ass.
Yeah.
Right? And so,
for sure.
You know, you listen to players in those scenarios. It's such a collaborative effort. It's
true.
It's just like in a team in on the field, it's not, hey, Saquon scored that 65-yard touchdown, way to go, only Saquon, right? It's
right.
A collaborative effort. It took Fred Johnson on the backside leveling his guy. It took the receivers downfield blocking, you know, and that's the same way it's calling plays. So
yeah.
I won't get into the percentages of times. I'm never going to tell you when I called a play and it scored a touchdown. I'll always tell you when I called a play that didn't work.
Sure.
I'm always going to tell you that because that's my job as a head football coach, and that comes with scrutiny, and that's okay. That's my job. That's the job of leaders that aren't the funnest part of the job, but it's what it is.
What changed in the second half of the Saints game for our quarterback? It felt like there was a difference. Like it was smoother. Things were more successful. Jalen, his performance in the second half, why did it feel more even?
Yeah, I thought that the game he just saw it well. I thought he just saw it well, and was delivering the ball to where it needed to go. You know, playing, throwing hots off of blitzes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Like, it's the way it goes. Like, he's going to get blamed for the interception because it goes on his stat sheet. But there's a lot of things that go into that. And so, and he's got to put two hands on the football when he scrambles. So that fumble was on him, and he'll be the first one to tell you that. But when you have, I thought he was smooth throughout the game. I thought he was in complete control throughout the game. But I do understand that, when you have those two blips on there, regardless of what the circumstances were, it's going to appear that he wasn't. But I really did feel like he operated well in that entire game.
Hmm.
It was, you know, we'd stalled out in the red zone a couple of times, you know, all these different things. But I thought he played, I thought he saw the field well. I thought in that two-minute drill, what poise to deliver that ball to Dallas, and the guys did an unbelievable job, execute Jahan Dotson. Jahan Dotson doesn't get the stats that Dallas Goedert gets on that catch, but his detail on the play,
sure,
absolute perfection. It was perfection, and then what's also not, if you go back and look at that play, Johnny Wilson gets a release. Excuse me,
I love Johnny Wilson.
Johnny Wilson, he gets this release on the play. He gets a release on the play that kind of spins the defensive back up, and the defensive back has to hurry up and catch up to him. Well, sometimes on that play, that guy falls off that play and makes that play for a 15, 16-yard gain. But Johnny beat him so good off the line of scrimmage that it pulled the guy in so far that Dallas was able to run. So, again, I know you asked me a question about Jalen, and I thought he was complete control on the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some unsung heroes. The offensive line, they're not going to get the credit. Sometimes the offensive line, they get the credit only when you only get talked about the sacks given up. Their protection on that play was awesome. And the throw by Jalen was awesome. Sometimes that ball's behind a guy. You know, I've seen other quarterbacks put that ball behind them, and he can't, like, really get going with that steam, that full head steam of gas, whatever that's called.
Sure.
How's that for,
yeah, the
you
momentum.
Know what I'm talking about. Yeah, and so many things went into that play that put us down there. And then you get down there, and then look at that next play. Offensive line did a great job of just bowling off the ball, and then Grant Calcaterra lays his body on the line on the slice block on the defensive end, puts Chase Young down, and is laying on the ground in pain, but with his hand up in the air like number one. Like, isn't football freaking awesome, guys? I mean, it is awesome. I love football. And I love the just rehash that, how that game went and just what a team effort it was to get that ball in the end zone at the end of the game.
Nick Sirianni here. Two final things, Nick. Number one, Devontae, the hit on him. Are you more annoyed with the Saints player that hit him or with the refs for not blowing the whistle? He catches it at the 36. He's not struck until the 31 by that additional defender. What annoys you more there?
You know, I obviously am just feeling for Devontae that, you know, he got hurt on that play. I know this, that guys, everybody knows like that this is their livelihood. And I don't think for 1 minute that I think, you know, do I think for 1 minute the referee or that player on that team trying to do that? I don't. So I don't want I'll never question somebody's integrity because everybody's out there laying their lives on the line to, you know, for the game that they love. And so I'll never question anyone's integrity on that. All I can say is that, you know, I'm glad Smitty's feeling good and that, but it was brutal. It was hard to watch. That's a hard thing to watch when someone, you know, I love Smitty on this team, love Smitty. He's the toughest guy. He is the toughest guy I know. Forget pound for, you know how they say pound for pound. Mm-hmm. He's the toughest guy. No, he's just the toughest guy I know.
Wow.
And so I love him. And I just, you know, I obviously feel bad that happened, but I'm never going to question somebody's integrity in that.
Nick, final thing. I know you're not going to tell us about injuries moving forward, so I'll just move on. We'll see who plays on Sunday. But I'll ask you this about trying to prevent injury or wear and tear. Saquon through three games has 73 touches. If you extrapolate that for 21 games, which is what it'll probably take to win the Super Bowl if you don't get a bye, he's on pace for 511 touches. 511. Do you feel you need to dial him back a bit?
Well, I think I don't remember where I said this. I do a lot of media, so I don't remember if I said it here, if I said it in a production meeting, if I said it, you know, wherever I said this. But you do everything you can do to win each individual game, right? Can you imagine if we didn't give him the ball as many times as we did and we lost? You know what I mean? I think about how that would feel.
Right.
Like, oh my God, we didn't give Saquon. We tried to pull back on Saquon to rest him for the 21 games like you're talking about. And we lost the game. You better win the game.
Yes.
You better win the game. And that's our job every single week. So the way I look at it, guys, is we'll do whatever. If Saquon needs to carry it seven times to win because we got to throw it a bunch, then that's what's got to happen. If Saquon's got to carry it 50 times to win, then we'll give them to him 50 times. Where we can make up for that is in practice. You know, Saquon, how you feel? Talking to Saquon, how he's feeling, pulling back on him in practice, so that way he's completely fresh. You know what? We got a bye coming up. And I just went down the hallway of our coaches and say, hey, you got a couple days off next week. Give me everything you got this week. And I'm teasing. They give me everything they got every single week. But we got a bye coming up. And, you know, our job is to win this game without by any means necessary. All I'll say is this, Saquon's a heck of a football player. I'm glad he's a Philadelphia Eagle.
Nick, good luck versus Tampa Bay. We'll be watching and look forward to talking after it's over. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all right,
coach.
There is Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.